Right, hello Pop Pickers, my name's Graham Blackburn Rovers and welcome to this week's Naked Football Show. As the youth team have an important FA Cup game against Watford only just down the road, or next door in fact, in less than an hour it seems fitting that we welcome back Alistair Ross of Ipswich Town First, who of course sponsor the team. Hello Alistair.
Yeah, it's good to be here and obviously it's good to see the trust.
Okay, I just want you to say hello. Thank you.
A bit more, give a chance.
The game, not the team.
Oh right, sorry mate, sorry. We also welcome back, after a very long hiatus, Town fan Daniel Potter.
Indeed. Hiya, Graham.
Hello, Daniel. And, of course, the show wouldn't be complete without those with the day's Phil Ham.
Hello.
So, this week, we'd like your views on which players from this current crop of youngsters we should be earmarking for the future, the ins and outs of the transfer market, or lack thereof. What's your slant on that? And, of course, we'll tackle last Saturday's game against Stoke. So, as usual, email in with your thoughts to studio@icrfm.co.uk, or you can text us on 079 73 851 968. But we'll start with the Stoke game. Daniel, how did you see this one?
Right, thanks for the opportunity to come on and say I did see the game. And I think a very competitive, highly enthralling encounter between two sides that are going to finish very much amongst the top pickings of this division. The opening sort of salvo, first 20 minutes from Danny Haynes, who looked absolutely fantastic, by the way, raring to go. And what is it about players who reach a point where it's near their birthday? I think Danny Haynes would have turned, help me out on this one, 21, 22.
But 20, isn't he?
20, in fact. Yeah, 19, 20. So just looked raring to go. And I think from that point, you know, Town looked a good bet to go on and get a second. But Stoke drew themselves more and more into the game, created chances themselves, let's not forget that, albeit chances from the edge of the box. You know, a great enthralling encounter between two very, very competitive, feisty teams. I think they will be there in the shake-up or thereabouts.
I see. I kind of think that Stoke are exactly the sort of side we have trouble playing against at home. They're sort of all about 6 foot five. I think they defend. They defend very well. They're very organised at the back. And in Fuller, they've got someone who can certainly score goals, who I think a lot of people looked at on Saturday and thought we could probably have done with signing him permanently when we had him on loan. They are a difficult side to play against, I think, and better sides than us will have difficulty scoring more than once against them. And I wonder whether we'll see more teams like that. More teams come with their sort of physical, strong approach against us as the season goes on.
I think Tony Pulis has always had teams like that. That's his strong point, a team that's well organised, 100% commitment. And I think we missed a chance, because I think whether it was the FA Cup replay tonight against Newcastle, but for the first 20 minutes they didn't seem to be that interested or that organised, which was, and we had that 20 minutes.
Yeah, we had our chance.
Haynes beat the fullback. If he beats the fullback early on, he'll play well. I think 3 weeks ago we'd have been happy with a point against Stoke, but after the performances against West Brom and Portsmouth and the start, the first 20 minutes, it was a bit disappointing in the end, and we still seem to be lacking slightly at the back. And the two penalty shouts of theirs both came from, really, you know, the second one especially came from an error between keeper and centre-half.
Well, the centre-half, I can't remember who the defender was.
Yeah,
but they ignored.
That was the second time it happened that game, though. So that was a bit of a worry, you know, and then we decided to kick it out for the last 5 minutes and let them have some long throws. But I think it was, and people, some people didn't play. We done all right, because about three or four players had an off game, you know, Pablo. And then again, I couldn't understand why we were, after he was so good against Portsmouth and West Brom, we then decided to throw the high ball up all the time, which obviously is not Pablo's
game.
But
I think that's when we get frustrated, when we're not passing the ball in midfield. Or I mean, we weren't given time to pass the ball around in midfield, were we? Sort of, certainly the sort of second half of the first half and the second half of the match. I mean, I thought that something that was notable, really, is that if we can't pass our way through sides, or don't score the goals through passing our way through sides, we don't really have any other options, do we? We don't have a second plan B, for want of a better phrase. And in sort of several games, I think Scunthorpe perhaps was one, Burnley, I think we did grab a win against Scunthorpe in the end, didn't we? But Burnley as well, we just sort of lacked that sort of another option. We're a bit one-dimensional, I think.
I think that's similar when we had the Joe Royal playoff year. Was similar, really. If a team sat back and defended, Shefki and especially Darren Bent couldn't beat him. Sometimes Shefky would do something out of unusual, like away at Rotherham, you know, 30 yard, you know, top corner. Yeah. But really, we struggled against them teams then because playing the same similar football, we couldn't break with Magilton in the team and Garvin, we couldn't break them down. And Bentley and that were very, you know, devoid of any ideas really against a team that could just sit back on the edge of its box and defend. So it hasn't really been changed in 3 or 4 years.
So the obvious question from that is, given that we're in the midst of an exciting January transfer window, which players that you think that you've seen us linked with would be the players that would change that situation?
Well, I think he obviously has his targets and all that, but I think sometimes you need to change. And I mean, I personally would have put a quick bid in for Edwards at Luton after playing against Liverpool, but he went to Wolves 3 or 4 days later. Whether that was already predestined, I don't know. But I think we need a box-to-box midfielder.
Which they've identified as Norris has.
And he just maybe, Garvin can, you know, he can break down defences, but he needs someone to do the work to enable him to do that, because he's not going to put tackles
someone to do
and run
the
around.
Running,
so he needs someone, I suppose, that Miller was supposedly meant to be doing. But we still obviously need to cover ourselves in defence, because we're likely to, against teams like Stoke and Burnley and Scunthorpe, concede the other end when we're still weak in the centre-back position. One of the centre-back positions is still very weak.
But given what's already been said, I mean, do you think that also, we clearly need a plan B to break down teams like as resilient as Stoke? We do need someone of the kind of stature and physical composition of Alan Lee, another kind of an attacker who will just get on the end of things, crosses and free kicks.
See, I mean, I don't see Alan Lee as the kind of traditional English centre forward. He's kind of seen as our big man up front, but I don't think he plays like a traditional big man.
I think our way of beating him is to use a wide man, and how great Haynes was for 19 minutes, 1 minute for each year of his age or whatever. He didn't do anything after that, and I think wingers are the option. And obviously, he's always been after a wide man. Peters hasn't done it yet, and whether he will is in doubt. Hainsey was very poor up to the Portsmouth game, even against West Brom. Really, he wasn't good, and hasn't been good away from home. And we're talking about the youth team later. I still don't see any super wingers there. Maybe the young Reggie Lamb, but you know, width is the answer, because you get wide, and maybe that is why Cito is slightly a better bet at the moment than Harding, because he does give you a slightly better offensive. Have we got any, Graham, any
emails? Well, you're talking about centre-half. Jack Hobbs. Evan's flexible friends from Essex suggest Jack Hobbs, get him on loan.
Yeah, a lot of people have mentioned Jack Hobbs, but I don't think there's anything in that story other than posts on the message board. I mean, not everyone would be aware of who Jack Hobbs is.
He's a young centre-half
at Liverpool.
Made a couple of appearances here in the first team, but as I say, those have been in Carling Cup encounters rather than...
I think he made his debut before Christmas, didn't he? He was at Lincoln. Yeah.
And they obviously don't think he's good enough at the moment for the Premier, because obviously they're looking to bring in replacements. They've just bought the Czech in or the Slovak or whatever. Obviously they're struggling themselves because they're having to play Sammy Hoopier. Who they believe is beyond his best, but they obviously don't believe Hobbs is good enough for the Premier.
I don't know. Do we want loans? I mean, I think we're looking at building a side for the future, and I don't really see that there's too much to be gained from... I mean, I suppose, you know, to strengthen the side for an assault on the promotion.
Well, I think if you're going to buy a player,
I just think we're in a position where we were trying to build a team that, if we don't get promoted this year, the kind of groundwork is in place for next year.
I think buying UK players, English players, is expensive and sometimes over the top. Hopefully there might be a cheaper foreign option. I don't think you need to then buy even Norris. It's been around a while. It's a bit of a risk. Young loan player as in Noble could be the answer. And I know Walton wasn't a great success here. One thing he did do is put his foot in. Maybe too much. And he continues to do that at QPR. But Noble, for instance, a young loan player like Noble, I mean, that was a success. I mean, it was gone on to on the verge of the England squad.
It's a success for everybody.
So there are young players out there. I mean, Manchester United seem to loan about two teams out, including, obviously, eventually, they don't use any of them. So Stoke City, for instance, we've got a good young centre-half for £1 million.
The player that Jim wanted over the summer was, and I can't think of his name now, the left winger from Middlesbrough who was on loan at Watford earlier in the season, Johnston.
Yeah.
They wanted him in the summer, I suppose, in that kind of mould of Noble. But what Watford got in first. I think he's gone back to Middlesbrough now, hasn't he? So, I mean, there's other suggestions. I mean, players' names are coming up on a daily basis. We're talking about sort of centre-forwards and changing things from an attacking perspective. Lee Miller has been mentioned a lot in Scotland as a player that Town are interested in. Do you remember much about him when he was at Bristol City?
Not really.
I can't either.
I mean, I think Jim's now stuck in a position where his main targets haven't happened, and possibly now you wait until Premier clubs buy all their players, and then what's left, you know, maybe, you know, for instance, in previous years, I'm not saying we want him, and he's often there, like Mellor, you know, at Liverpool. He waits to the end of the month, and then the Premier clubs then decide to get rid of players because their reserve league isn't strong enough, and then they loan them out. But you're waiting then to the last week for these players to go. You know, you wait for the Premier clubs to bring in their targets, because obviously Chelsea are going to have some players now. The trouble with the African Nations Cup, you know, some Premier teams maybe want to keep their reserve players right to the end of the month. I think we're stuck in that position now, unless there doesn't seem to be any foreign player would probably be here now because of their midwinter break. Scottish players, possibility, but
well, I think
they're all players who have actually tried it before in England. We're not talking about any players.
Barry Robson? I can't remember. Barry Robson is the one that Jim is supposed, according to the paper this morning, is going to look at today. Now, you will know whether he has or not, because he'll presumably be at the ground tonight if he isn't. So,
I mean, I think we'll get players, even if it's one or two.
I think, one,
we need them for the squad, and secondly, I think if he's got that much money, Mr. Evans, I'm sure even a couple of million, but I can't see him letting money be wasted on players that aren't.
I don't think Jim's
going to either.
Jim is careful with his money.
I think we need to bring in a couple of players, and
what
if
about
not,
our,
we need to throw some of the young players in. Maybe there's still some, going on to tonight. You know, there are a couple of young players who might be worth a go.
What about our Irish contacts? Because obviously we've brought in the likes of O'Callaghan, etc.
Yeah.
And are we doing any activity there, perhaps, of any bringing anyone in of the appropriate age, perhaps not too young, but having some kind of experience in the game and
yeah, from over there. Well, I mean, that name that was mentioned as a player from the Aircom League that might be coming over is Graham Gartland from Drogheda, but that seems to have gone quite quiet. I mean, that's gone quite quiet, and the Rob Jones story has gone quite quiet in the last sort of, well, really since the transfer window opened.
I wonder
whether Jim is looking elsewhere.
I think
with McCauley and Martin Taylor.
I think also Jim's been a bit slightly unlucky, is obviously because Plymouth and Hibs as well, in both his two target players, have actually sold the rest of their team other than Jones and thing. Mm. So one, they don't need the money, and secondly, I'm sure they don't want to sell anyone else because the board would probably get lift, you know, in Plymouth's case, he's really the only experienced player they got left. And in Hibs, I mean, they're selling the fullback to West Brom, or supposedly, or Birmingham for £3 million. West Brom are after a couple of his players. He really hasn't got many players left, has he?
It's the other thing is,
for Norris, there's no danger of him being out of contract, is there?
We just got an email, Pabs and Lee from Witham. Plymouth have just signed another midfield player today, so does that see Norris on his way?
I think he's more of a sort of holding player from what I read. I mean, I looked the other day and I was sort of trying... Was it the Sheffield Wednesday player, the Irish?
They bought one from Sheffield Wednesday and they've just bought Clark.
Whelan was the other one they were targeting. They had a bid turned down.
And they bought Clark from Aberdeen.
He looked to me a similar sort of player to Norris. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Up and down and... certainly there'll be... I mean, it may be a case of that Jim has his targets and that he's waiting for other teams to sign players. So, you know, it could all kind of... There could be a domino effect and we could suddenly get players because other players...
And obviously, the other thing with Plymouth is... I don't think Holloway would have been keen on Norris going anyway, but with Sturrock there, he might be slightly more willing to let him go if he thinks he's unhappy.
Well, that's
it. But also, Sturrock wants to bring his own players in anyway. And he, obviously, if he thinks Norris is good enough... You know, they're in a quite good position still, Plymouth, so I don't think there's been any rush to sell him.
But the thing I think about Norris is you haven't heard a word from Norris during this entire transfer window, whereas with people like, say, Paul Parry, that have also been linked, you've had Parry saying, I don't want to leave Cardiff. Norris, you've not heard a word. The other thing is that Plymouth, as far as the... According to the Plymouth paper today, despite sort of reports around here, they haven't offered him a new contract yet. They're going to talk to him about this week, but no contract is apparently yet on the table. Now, that could, of course... not necessarily be true, but you'd have thought if they were that desperate to keep him and that they were confident that he wanted to stay, that they'd have already offered him a deal now. And the other thing is that now is the best chance of them getting reasonable money for him before his contract sort of starts to wind down towards a year, particularly as Bolton have got this 50%.
Yeah, I, I mean, I just think we're just going to be waiting to the last week.
Yeah, well,
I think the last day,
even
some deals are going to be done the last day. We may bring a couple of young players in. But he needs a centre-half. I think the worrying thing for a lot of supporters is we need a centre-half at the start of the season.
Isn't there, though, a sense that should that happen, that the club will get a backlash in the sense that they'll say, well, you've panicked, you've pressed the red button on it, and therefore are these players going to turn out to be the gems that you've been negotiating for most of the part?
I can't see us going through the whole month without signing a player.
No, I can't. Whether
he'll need players for a squad, but not big enough. He needs players. They aren't going to be... maybe the players we thought we were going to get.
No, but I don't think you just identify a player for a position. You identify players that you would see fitting into a position, and then you kind of go through the list with the clubs to see who's available and who hasn't been given a silly price tag.
I'm sure he had a list of players he wanted to buy, Norris, Jones, etc. And I'm sure he's got a list of Premier players who he can't buy, but who
that
possibly can be
loan.
Owned, as in Bates at Middlesbrough, players like that. Again, I heard was linked again the other day.
Cause he's he's only
playing.
Played his first
but
reserve match.
I think there will be obviously a list of players in the Premier League, ones who they think will probably be sold eventually by the Premier Club or let go, and those who are going to make it in the game, like Noble, but are willing to be given, you know, a bit of experience.
Andy Gray, by the way, we haven't mentioned Andy Gray yet.
I can't understand why Charlton are so desperate for him. He just seems to be a player of 30 years old, isn't the way we should be going.
But he scores goals in this division.
But he's going to be on a nice contract. If you don't go up, you're stuck with him, 30 years old. I don't think that's the way ahead for us.
Come on in, Graham, right. Read us some emails.
Yeah, do you want to get on to the youth team
emails. Give me an email.
They are playing tonight. Right, this one is from the venerable old Git. It's an email which is very marginally smaller than the Bible.
Yeah, and written in mauve.
Is that your printer, by the way? I won't read it all for obvious reasons, but he does watch a lot of reserve and youth team games, as we know. He was on about a young Bermudan guy by the name of...
Bermudian, can I point
is
out
Is it Bermudian
there?
Guy?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Well, there you go.
I got a complaint from I wrote Bermudan once on Those Are the Days, and I got a complaint from a reader in Bermuda. So
I've learned something as well. Reggie Lamb, his name, isn't he?
Reggie Lamb.
You told me. So,
Reggie Thompson Lamb. Reginald Thompson Lamb, as his, I believe, is his given name, but his footballing name is Reggie Lamb.
And basically, he goes on about, he's sick of the physical side of football and he wants people like this.
He's a tricky winger, isn't he?
What do you think of
him? He hasn't pushed on to reserves yet. I mean, he's made an international.
Town's youngest ever international.
But he hadn't actually played, I don't think he played much for reserves at all.
He played in the pre-season game.
Yeah, but he hasn't played much for reserves yet. He is a first-year youth player. We're not going to get too excited about him. But he looks good, tricky. And in all the under-18 and the under-16 youth teams, he's the only real winger we have really out there. And obviously that's what Jim needs and we need as a winger. So he could be pushed up the... chain slightly earlier, but I think there's a couple more players that I would like to see be given a chance.
Who are your starting?
Ed Upson is the one. I box to box midfield player, gets tackling, has a shot on goal,
as we saw in the 2005 FA Youth Cup
intelligent
final.
Player and is good footballer, maybe not as pushed on as much over the last 2 years as people thought he would, but when you're looking, would he do much of a worse job than Tommy Miller? I mean, I personally I think maybe because we're in that playoff position or close to it, we're sort of playing a bit accent, we get safe. We're a bit further down the league. He may have been given a chance. But, I mean, I think he's an excellent player. Robinson, the fullback, is excellent. The two centre-backs, Smith's gone backwards slightly, but
he's
good.
Smith's been injured a lot this year.
Yeah, he hasn't pushed on this year. The World Cup didn't do him any good going away to Korea. And the other one, I think, is a better footballer, more in the Gerard Nash style, and hopefully a bit less injury-prone, is the young Watson, the Scottish centre-half.
He's
only a first-year player. And has already gone into the reserves and has looked very accomplished.
He's a first year, as you say, isn't he? Yeah. The other one, Kurt Robinson, you say, who plays. Do you think he's best at left back or left midfield? Because I've always thought he's best when he's coming forward.
I think he's a left back who can attack. The trouble is he could end up being a bit like Matt Richards in, you know, which position do you actually play him in? Mm. I think he's got the pace to be a good full back. But could play that role that Matt Richards did play quite well, actually, in that left of midfield. He's a good, feisty player, Robinson. The three at the back are good, I'd say. Up front, Ains is good. Murphy, I'm not so sure about. He's got all the tricks, but maybe not a team player yet.
Well, Murphy
and Rhodes, obviously, we've seen quite a bit of.
Yeah.
But Rhodes is one of his natural goal scorers. I don't think he's a great team player, or he's, you know, but he's just a person who just has that knack of putting them in the back of the net.
Yeah.
I don't think he, maybe more of a Shearer type than maybe someone like Ashton, who's more of a footballer, I'd have thought, and brought players into the game.
Yeah, I mean, Murphy, I always think, I mean, I've only seen him a few times, but he always looks very slight. And but then again, he is only about 16, so.
They say Murphy's got every trick in the book, but he's probably always been a bit of a superstar in these sort of teams he's played in.
Because he's an Irish under 20, Irish under 17.
He's just got to learn to play a bit more of a team football, I think, and obviously try and get in the game more often.
Yeah. And Jay Reason's another name that was mentioned a lot last year, but doesn't seem to be getting so much
attention. Doesn't seem to. He has got, he's had a few injuries again, and he's someone who obviously has to work on his fitness. You know, he's obviously someone, you know, who, if he misses a couple of games, injured or whatever, you know, piles the pounds on slightly. And, you know, and I'm afraid we're on about a game now at the top level. The top, the Championship, the Premier, where you've got to be like some of these African players. You know, you've got to be Olympic type sprinters, muscle bound, and so on. And unless you're an absolutely outstanding footballer in the likes of Sheringham or even Sol Campbell, who can survive with losing a bit of pace, because most of them can't. And that's the worry with someone like Garvin already. With a lack of pace.
Go on, have you got any emails?
Right, well, we've got one from Stephen Myers. I won't read the lot, but he's saying, are they as good as we think they are, youth academies? Are they a valuable source of cheap talent or a waste of money? If we're going to buy players, do the players come through? And on that note, what I'll do is hand this to Phil, if you can give this to Alistair, because this gives a list of players in the last final and where they are now. And of course, there's a couple missing, so I'm sure Alistair can fill us in. But this will give you some idea of who has or hasn't made it into the first team.
Going back to the point about players coming through, it is a good point that as the club progresses with all this money behind us and all these new signings, it's going to be harder and harder for academy players to come through, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, I personally think there was a big decision made yesterday with the G14 being scrapped and FIFA and UEFA and the 100 top clubs all getting together. I think they're worried that Platini will bring a quota system in and it will affect. The thing is, Arsenal's team of the future, and he thinks the best youth team he's got, which is the team below the first team now, are nearly all, though they're not English, they're all British even, they've all come through their youth system.
Yeah.
And I think it's the way ahead. And even the Manchester United team, there's still quite a few youth players coming through. The worry is if you go to somewhere like Portsmouth, though they were very good on Saturday, the youth team, if you go to somewhere like Portsmouth and other clubs who totally, and Newcastle as well, who totally ignore their youth team and buy players, you've got to have a lot of money to do that, or you're buying on the cheap all the time. Mm. And I think you've got to buy a youth player. And you've got to say to the parents, and when some of these youth players, we can get right down to East London, our catchment area, they've got a chance of making it in the first team. Because in the end, English players are overpriced, and one of them, as in Darren Bent was, you know, that's an awful lot of money to club. That if we hadn't got Evans' money, Bent's money probably would have saved us this season from being in very much trouble again.
Having to sell Garvin and having to sell John Walters, probably.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd say is if you are a club of kind of our sort of stature that's in the Premiership, that even if you have players who aren't making the first team, or don't progress into the first team, chances are a Championship side like ourselves will probably pick that player up for a fee of sort of, at the moment, looking at the various budgets that, I mean, Rowan Vine being a player with a kind of medium or lower level Premiership club, he's just gone to QPR for what? A fee approaching $1 million somewhere.
Well, so. Norwich have just sold their reserve goalkeeper to Peterborough for £400,000.
Well, yeah.
So all that money
can be ploughed back into the academy. Anyway, do you remember what the team was for the 2005 final?
I probably couldn't name you the team, but I could look at that list.
I mean, it's quite interesting. I was going through the list today and obviously, the goal was Supple, who, of course, is still at the club. Sammy Moore, who is still at the club, but we assume he may well move on
at
some point.
He's a player, you know, that who will make a living in the game, but not at this level.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Sinnott, who's on trial at York at the moment.
Yeah, played very well last week.
Did very well. Certain Danny Haynes was a substitute, coming on after 62 minutes. James Krause, who now is...
I don't know where Krause... He went to Russian Diamonds.
Yeah.
He was there on pre-season against...
Casement.
Caseman, obviously still at the club, but likely to move on, unfortunately.
Aidan Collins.
That's just luck of the draw. I mean, he's a player who only can play one game a week. Injuries, you know, still at Chelmsford City.
Yeah.
And is, you know, quite... Can't train, can't do anything.
And first leg two-goal hero, Cathal Lorden. Do you know where he is?
No, I haven't got a clue where Cathal is.
I looked actually new, which is a bit annoying, isn't it? Depressing that I'm that sad, really. But he was he's at Cork City, but he's recently been on loan at Waterford United.
Yeah.
Liam Trotter playing again. Yeah. Owen Garvin. Sheringham, which I assume
is Charlie.
Is Charlie.
He plays for Crystal Palace.
Oh yes, the American.
An American team, obviously, with Crystal Palace in the American Youth League.
A-League,
yeah. Which they're using as a way of getting young Americans in. And Charlie's gone out there to play for them, to give them a bit of experience.
Oh, he's probably back now because the season's over, I imagine. Yeah. But there he goes. And Daryl Knight, who is...
Just been released by Cambridge United back to Yeovil.
Yeah, he was on loan at Cambridge, wasn't he? Hammond. It's Blair Hammond, isn't it?
Blair Hammond, who lives locally, was playing for Leiston, I think.
And Liam Craig, who you...
Liam Craig is just gone on loan to St Johnstone from Falkirk.
There you go. And I think the only other player that was involved in the second leg, who wasn't involved in the first leg, I'm looking, there's a certain Mr Upson came on after 104 minutes, and I think after 106 minutes scored the winning goal.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look, that's quite a good ratio of people have made the first team there.
Yeah.
And those are obviously still continuing to be there in the case of Trotter, Haynes, and Supple and Garvin, that's four. And Billy Clark was injured, obviously, he would have played,
Course,
he was in the first team. And if you look at the 73 Youth Cup team and the 75 Youth Cup team, it probably the ratio is about the same. Obviously, 73 Burley and Walk stand out, and 75 probably Osman. I'm not really sure who else, but
Gates was he involved?
I'm not sure, but really the ratio there is probably actually quite good. But the trouble is, obviously, some of them won't last forever, or you know. Go on forever.
Yeah, but, I know what you mean.
You know, maybe like, left you could, the club like Ben, the previous team which lost in the semi-final of Ben, Bloomfield, Westlake. Again, a lot of them have gone on to play league football.
Yeah. Any more on the wires then, Graham?
I'd had a text this afternoon, actually, from Sean. Doesn't say where from. I always rated Ian Miller. Do you think we may have let him go too soon?
I just think at the moment he's in a position where he's 24 and he's clearly not impressed Jim enough to get himself into the first team. And he probably needs first team football, which I don't think he's going to get here. And
I think he's a good footballer. He's got a good brain. He'll make a nice, good living in the game. Probably end up as a manager or something. He's very well organised. An excellent captain at a low level, but probably just slightly lacking on the pace, which does make me worry when we're looking at these players from Scottish League, because Chris Hogg, who was a great youth footballer, absolutely superb brain, but had no pace, didn't even get a first team look in here. You know, but we bought him from York for a lot of money. You know, England youth player hasn't hardly missed a game for Hibs. I just worry that, you know, if Miller's not good enough for us, and we're looking at these centre halves in the Scottish league,
we're
lacking drastically in pace in the middle of the centre. You know, I mean, I think Naylor would be faster than De Vos, but you know, and
but Bruce, he's not as good in the air.
Bruce has got a bit of pace, but he decides to give the defender 10 minutes first, then jumps in. and that's half the reason why he'll pick up nasty injuries during his game.
Right, can I be really rude? Because we've actually run out of time, so I'm going to give you all a second each to predict a score for Saturday. Is there going to be a first away win, starting with Daniel?
Well,
that's
not
more than a second.
That's too long. Quick.
Not likely, I don't think, at this stage. Not confident. No.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm not.
I think, Alison? Walters will come good being back near his northern roots, and we'll win 3-1.
I think this is finally the moment. I honestly,
really,
I'm not sure. It's because it's such a long way. There's going to be so few town fans there to actually witness the day that we do.
I think most town fans are going for the whole weekend, so some probably won't remember the game.
Yeah, the other thing is there's no hotels because there's a pigeon fancies weekend.
Yeah, fancies weekend on is on the same time.
And you can't get a hotel anyway. Yeah, I reckon a scraped 1-0, the ball going in off the player we sign on
off
Friday's bottom,
off a pigeon
or a donkey, of course.
Off a pigeon.
Right, thanks everyone. Thanks to Daniel. Thanks to Alistair. Thanks for Phil up in Graham Blackburn Rovers. Thanks everyone. Sorry for the emails I didn't manage to read out. Till next week, have a good one. Bye.